Yeah, I think we're good to go. All right. So, I would like to welcome everybody who has been able to join us today for the Wikidata and Music webinar, part of the Music in Canada 150 celebrations and edit-a-thons we're going to be holding coast to coast. So, if you would like to use any of these materials for putting on your own workshop, your own training for your own edit-a-thons for any purpose, it's all licensed under Creative Commons Attribution. Here's the link, and I'll share it out after the meeting. So, our objectives today are to understand Wikidata's data model. How does it work? How do you add more information? How do you use that information? To get an idea of why Wikidata exists and what role it plays now and in the future. To encourage you to embrace your role as an editor with Wikidata as a fairly low barrier entry for a way of making statements about entities. And to create notable entities, which has a nice low barrier in comparison to the challenge of establishing a new Wikipedia page. You can say a lot more about the world in Wikidata in a shorter span of time with possibly a little bit less grief. That's why it's such one of the reasons it's attractive to me. And also, I'm hoping that out of this webinar, you will be able to take your skills and share. So one person can teach 10 more people. That accelerates nicely. And before you know it, we'll have a Canadian music Wikidata editing group of awesomeness, which will really address the root cause, which was identified as a lack of presence of Canadian music in the Wikipedia properties, Wikimedia Foundation properties, including Wikidata and Wikipedia. So the goal is to resolve that problem. So, overview. First thing is with Wikidata, it's the same username and password across all Wikimedia projects. So, if I go to wikidata.org, I'm already logged in under Dan Scott, so easy access to everything that we would you would expect as a Wikipedia editor. So that if you've already got a Wikipedia account, you'll also be able to log into Wikidata, no problem. There is a sandbox page. There is one page in Wikidata that allows you to do practice editing. There is an entire other test Wikidata site. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a copy of all the current data. So, for purposes of doing things like linking to entities or creating references, the test data site is really not particularly suited for that unless you want to build up the entire set of all the entities that you need to reference. Whereas the Wikidata sandbox page is actually perfectly appropriate for that. So, if we jump over to the sandbox, you can see you can jump right in. And right now we've got no statements, so this could be very useful for later on when we go through the exercise of, say, adding some references. All right. We are also, for a longer experience, this is going to be limited to a half an hour of hands-on. The Wikidata tours will walk you through step by step each of the stages required to edit, create, or edit Wikidata items, including adding references. And it's in a, again, in the sandbox environment with the realistic data. Doesn't really touch on music, though, so that's why we're going to focus on music today. One of the great properties of Wikidata is that all the data that's contained within it is under a very liberal license. It's about as close as you can get to being in the public domain for those jurisdictions where public domain isn't possible. Effectively says, take it for free, no attribution is required. Of course, it's always appreciated to say that it came from Wikidata, but it's not required, which means that Wikidata can become a source of an engine of data that can drive many different applications, including for those who are in libraries or archives or descriptive applications. And you might have heard of linked open data and the semantic web sort of before it or in parallel with it, which has been, there's been a great deal of excitement since around 2001 when Tim Berners-Lee first articulated the vision of the semantic web, sort of like the web of documents, except machine readable, idea being that you could teach computers to understand the data that's contained within this vast interlinked web, and make decisions and come forward with better applications, autonomous agents based on that sort of data. So the theory was fantastic, but it's been difficult applying that in practice. I mean, there are many different conferences and many different journals that focus on semantic web or linked data. But I do have one proof of concept, which is real and live today. And so I work at Laurentian University, and I've had the chance to work with Wikidata to put together a nice little proof of concept. So we take a look at that as we wait for it to come up. Here's an example from our library catalog. So you'll notice this is a fairly standard, plain catalog page, with the exception, if you have the ability to zoom in, you'll see that the list of contributors to the Mingus album by Joni Mitchell, each one of them has a little Wikidata icon beside the reason for their inclusion in the sort of authorship or contributor list. So if we look at Joni Mitchell and click on that Wikidata icon, what happens is the site goes out and says, hey, do you know anything about a musician or band named Joni Mitchell? And it goes to Wikidata and it pulls back a large set of data that it asked for and displays anything within that set that it actually has hit for. So if we zoom in a little bit, you can see that it's identified one of her instruments, and if there's no ranking on it, it sort of picks one from random of the many instruments that she might be associated with. Here's a very brief label, and a little bit of data that might be useful, like knowing what her Twitter or Facebook page is. And so, you know, for Joni Mitchell, most people probably have an idea of who that is, but other people might not know the great jazz bassist, fusion jazz bassist, Jaco Pastorius. So I click on that. You get a bit better sense again. You know, the image comes up that comes from Wikimedia Commons, and then you find out that he's not only a bass player, but he's also been an educator. Passed away, sadly, quite some time ago, but you know, important in the fusion jazz world. So this is real and live in our catalog today, and it's a very simple example. It probably took me about 6 hours to put together the first proof of concept for this, and I've refined it a little bit, but most of that refinement since the initial prototype has just been in terms of how things display, you know, taking it from the primary contributor out to the rest of the contributors. So this code is also available under a free software license, so it's available to adapt to your own catalogs or your own sort of digital displays if desired. So from here, let's see if I can get you out of the way because you're doing such weird things. Let's take a look at what the Wikidata page looks like. So this is a fantastic illustration by Charlie Critchmar, which gives you the breakdown of a standard Wikidata page. Things haven't really changed much since he put this together. So first and foremost is a label that appears up at the top. The label can be internationalized, so there are many different languages that Wikidata supports. We're looking at English today, obviously for Canada, French, Anishinaabe, Mi'kmaq, other languages would be of interest as well. So the same item can have many different labels and have the same data associated with it. This is really important because it means, unlike Wikipedia, where every different language, a Wikipedia variant, requires people to create the same sort of information each time, you can have these same sort of statements of fact appear within Wikidata once in a single language and then just internationalize the pieces that need to be changed for a particular language. Beside it is the item identifier. In the case of Douglas Adams, it's Q42, of course. And so that's an opaque identifier, which is used mostly by the machines to identify things. That'll appear in the URL, for example, that you would link to. So the machines don't care so much about labels. They care more about IDs. Underneath the label, there'll be a brief description. So you can have many different labels that are all the same. There could be many different Douglas Adams in the world, and each one of them could have its own entity. And the way that you distinguish them or disambiguate them is through the description. So this is Douglas Adams, the English writer and humorist, instead of whatever other Douglas Adams there might be. We also have aliases. So you give the label, if you create an entity, then you'll create a label that uses what they're mostly associated with, but you can also provide pseudonyms or other names. So in this case, we have Douglas Noel Adams with the umlaut over the E and without. And of course, those descriptions and aliases can also appear in multiple languages. Underneath that sort of brief section at the top, you'll have statements. And statements are arranged in terms of property and values as the primary sort of organizational way. So every property is in and of itself a Wikidata item or entity. But it's a special P value that it will have to identify its opaque identifier. So as a Wikidata item, it will have its own labels and descriptions and potentially aliases that would describe it. So it is also multilingual in nature, but it, for a machine, it knows that when you say educated at, and say that comes out to P72 as the property value, it knows that in every different language, what that relationship is. Douglas Adams was educated at St. John's College. This value, in many, many cases, the value is also a link to another entity within Wikidata. So in the case of St. John's College, that will end up being another Q number with its own information. So this is linked data in practice, and it's fantastic. And you can see within Douglas Adams educated at St. John's College, the very classic sort of subject, predicate, object relationship. But there's a little bit more to it than that. It goes a little bit deeper than classic linked data in that there are qualifiers. So Douglas Adams was educated at St. John's College, but there is an end time and a start time for that. And that's a little bit more difficult to do in classic sort of resource description framework, RDF. Here, it's very easy to assign these sorts of qualifiers. And you'll also see that there are references. So just like Wikipedia, where citations are needed, again, in Wikidata, there's an expectation that you will provide references that support the statements that you're putting forward for the items in question. So in this case, the classic sort of six pieces of the reference are where it was stated, the URL, if it's something that was online, the retrieval date, the publisher, the title, and the publication date actually would also be one that you'd often see. In this case, it's an online continuing resource, so there's not really a publication date, but instead of original language of work, you might see a publication date many times. And you can also see that there's more than one value for educated at. So we have educated at St. John's College, but we also have educated at Brentwood School. So it's possible to have multiple statements for the same property in place. So hopefully that makes a fair bit of sense. We'll dive into that a little bit further soon. So as noted, the two main pieces of sort of conceptually for the data model are entities, which is pretty much anything, including concepts. So we'll see that with music genres later as things, and statements, which are the property value combination. So, talking about notability, and I said earlier that we want to create notable entities to add to the understanding of Canadian music. Notability in Wikidata is similar to Wikipedia, but I would say informally it's more relaxed. So it has the same requirement of having publicly available references, right? So not primary sources necessarily. We're looking more at, say, journalism, write-ups, articles, books that refer to the entities in question. It's also considered notable if the entity links to a Wikipedia page or a Wikimedia Commons page. So if it's helping support another part of the Wikimedia Foundation projects, then it is notable because presumably it's met notability requirement elsewhere in Wikimedia. Or, and this is the one that I think that gives us a lot of leeway, is that it fulfills a structural need. So you may have a band in mind that had someone come out of it. Of course, I'm struggling for an idea right now. The band that Sinead O'Connor was in before she went solo, for example. It might not have a whole lot of publicly available references about it. It's Butterfly something, I think. But in and of itself, in the fact that we want to describe that Sinead O'Connor was a part of that band in the past, then you would also be able to describe the band, and then you may want to say who the other members of that band were, and then you kind of build out that interconnected link or web of links between people who may then surface elsewhere in the music world. Sorry for jumping to an Irish example rather than Canadian. That was very bad of me. So then we talked a little bit about the labels, aliases, and descriptions already. So as noted, we have that machine-readable name and URL. And we have the label and description that are meant for human legibility, so we can make sense of things. We have the aliases. Again, we can have many aliases per person. So Bono, if you don't know his real name, his alias is Paul David Hewson. I did not know that before. That's, for some reason, I like knowing that. He's not just a single name. If a label is missing, right now you get just Q blah, and that's missing in your particular language. There has been some talk, I think, about having it fall back to, say, the initial language in which it was created. But given that there could be dozens and dozens of different labels in different languages, right now it falls back to Q. So if you see Q showing up, Q number as a showing up as a label, that's a really good piece of low-hanging fruit for you to fill it in your language of choice. You can make a big contribution right away to human readability by fixing that. And another piece that makes editing the human readable pieces of this easy is that you don't need references for these edits, which could be a little bit of an issue maybe around aliases or descriptions, but just like with other Wikimedia properties, if there seems to be an edit war going on or abuse, pages can be locked, accounts can have consequences for their behavior. So I wouldn't worry too much about this. As long as people are well-behaved, it'll work well. So I should also mention that Wikidata is hierarchical in nature. So that means that we have the structure of something very general at the top, and then more specifics underneath it, which would be subclasses. So I guess in Wikidata, we talk about classes and subclasses. And that sort of reification of hierarchy can go very, very deep. So that's useful, for example, in classifying instruments. It can also be a grounds for potential arguments as well, if one really wanted to. But I think most of us are here to try and improve and do the best we can and kind of get rough consensus and not worry too much about the very fine-grained details there. And there are also then instances, the concrete members of a subclass. So the way I think about this is as a electric bass player in the past, I think about electric basses as a subclass of the family of bass instruments, guitar instruments, which are a subclass of plucked string instruments, which are a subclass of stringed instruments. And this kind of follows the model in Wikidata as well. And my specific Fender Jazz Bass Special from 1984 or whatever, I don't think it's that old, 88 maybe, would be an instance of one of those, of the subclass of electric bass guitar. So that's where you get instances. And humans are, human beings, specific ones such as Buffy St. Marie, are very good examples of instances. They have names, they're individuals. They are a member of the subclass of species human. So I mentioned music genres, and there are an awful lot of music genres. So even just in the past 4 or 5 months, because the September data is actually based on an extract from August 22nd, almost 100 instances of new genres have been added to the music genre. I suspect that's all Stacy who's working away at this. But the SQID is a way to get a better view on what the subclass and instance relationships are. So I open that up in a tab. It'll take a little while for this to load because it's doing a live query against its database to fill things in. So you'll see initially just a little bit of information about music genre. And if it loads, perhaps today we're going to have a bad network day. Trust me when I say that it will show up eventually. Yeah, I can see my little circle up there. It'll load up and tell us how many properties and subclasses there are, and then you can start drilling down or drilling up to the parent classes or drilling down to the subclasses. So it's still filling in because, you know, 1,338 is a lot to pull in. But this is extremely helpful if the default sort of form of doing things in Wikidata is auto-completion as you type. So if you're looking for a very specific class and you want to just browse through genres, sometimes autocomplete doesn't work all that well for you. This is an interface that can work. So there you can see it's pulled in the 1,338 instances. I'll zoom in a little bit. So we have, say, black metal. All right. We can pull that in, and that loads a little bit faster because it only has the direct superclass of heavy metal music, and it's only got four direct subclasses. So symphonic black metal, right? We can dig down pretty far. That's far enough, I think, for this purpose. So why don't we jump in and take a look at a musician's statements? So Buffy St. Marie. She was in Sudbury this summer for the Northern Lights Festival Boreal Festival. Fantastic opener. So Buffy St. Marie is obviously fairly well documented. So we can scroll through and see things like, let me again zoom in a little bit. We can see that she has labels that are the same in pretty much every language. You can see that briefly over at the side as well, initially. We've got descriptions in different languages. And here, the German language actually has some aliases that we don't have in English. And so this is a common sort of either misspelling or misuse, but it would help it show up in searches and it would help people find it. So we could easily, and you know what, I will go ahead and add that. So I'm already logged in, so I can hit edit. And I can now add that alias, and then I can save it. And so we now have that appearing for English as well, just to help with identifying the right person. So we see that she's a human, and there is even references. Many of these references you'll find were imported from Wikipedia. So that's not overly surprising. Wikidata itself was kind of bootstrapped from extracting as many statements as possible from Wikipedia and kind of seeding the database that way. Now much more of it is human generated or external data sets that are being added. So that's our role, is to help flesh out things. She's associated with a few genres. Again, there are some references for that. In this case, just a few links for the references, not really full references, but references nonetheless. So one could do fact checking on that and go further. The link to the photo of Buffy St. Marie comes from Wikimedia Commons. There's probably more that could be added. We have a qualified statement here. So a spouse with a start time and an end time, 1982 to 2000. So that's an example of a statement that has a qualifier, very easy to add. And you'll notice here too, I've got a little I. And so the little I for information symbol identifies possible issues with statements. So here, the expectation is that the Jack Nietzsche entity in Wikidata should also say that Jack Nietzsche had a spouse, Buffy St. Marie, and it doesn't. So we could go in and fix that as well. We can see the various occupations, and we can see awards, again, with qualifiers like point in time. And if we scroll way down, we'll see she has instrument guitar. She obviously plays more things than that. And then there's a whole set of identifiers. So the librarians in the room can be very excited by the identifiers piece, because these are really, in a sense, the authorities that identify the same person in other databases. So we have the virtual international authority file, international standard number for identification, Music Brains, which if you haven't used Music Brains, is a fantastic resource for getting a whole other sets of information, entire playlists, albums, etc. Things like Discogs and Songkick, which is touring information generally, as well as fun stuff like Twitter and Facebook. So lots of ways to spread sort of the network of information about Buffy St. Marie or other artists. We've looked at most of those. A nice thing on date of birth, a nice thing for the some of these statements is that you will be guided in what you can put in. So for date of birth, if I wanted to change this, it would freak out if I just typed in gibberish and it'd tell us, no, that's not cool. So it helps you along the way and shows you what you're showing. So I could say 1941-02-21. 31, well, okay, February 31st, maybe it should probably catch that. I'm going to cancel because, you know, we don't actually want to mess this up. It really sucked to be banned from using Wikidata during the middle of a webinar for being incorrect. So I mentioned in passing that Buffy played more than just the guitar. And there's a Vogue article, which certainly counts as a reference, where it talks about her playing the mouth boat. I'm not going to sign up for your newsletter. So mouth bow, right on. So this is an interview with her where it says, I played mouth bow. Like, mouth bow, interesting. So why don't we add that? I'm not look at my calendar. Why don't we add that to Buffy's list of instruments? So I'm going to say add a value. Now as I type mouthbo, there we go. Mouthbo is in Wikidata as of last night. I was doing a little bit of preparatory work and there's no references currently for this particular statement. So I want to add the reference because hey, if I can state a fact that came from Vogue, I think that's pretty cool. That is the World Fashion and Lifestyle magazine. Indeed. I want to say it was publication date when it was published. And let's go see what that was. Publication date was May 27th, 2015. So I can add that in. Is it going to parse this? Yep. So it understands humans don't always do the most logical date, which is, of course, year-month-day in four-digit, two-digit mode. Humans will also type things. So we like what it's done. We'll say, yeah. We have a title of the article. So let's go grab that. Copy and paste rules the world. And we have to say what language it's in. And interestingly enough, there's no English US, it's just English, which is assumed. Fair enough, I'll accept that. We also need the URL. So we use reference URL for that. Oh, not symphonic black metal. And for that, I'm gonna have to go out of full screen. Capture the URL, full screen, paste in the URL. And finally, we want to have the retrieved date. And that'll automatically fill in today because, I mean, why would you be doing it at any other time? So with that, we've got enough to say, yeah, I know that she also plays the mouth bow. I have an article that references it. I can add that reference. So if anybody wants to quibble with it, they can look up that article and find out that they're wrong. All right. So now it exists. Isn't that fantastic? I think it's fantastic. So we have fixed that. We also have the ability to add qualifiers. So let's see what that looks like if we were to add a qualifier. Now, I'm not actually going to do this because most of these already have the point in time, but you can say for the best, the Academy Award for Best Original Song, if you wanted to add a qualifier, you can just click, once you've edited the statement, you can click add qualifier at a point in time, and then you can put in the date, and that can be to whatever level of granularity you want. Right? So that could be just a month, or it could be a specific day. But we aren't going to do that, because we already have that data here. But it's an easy thing to add. Quite often, these entities will be seeded with awards received, and they're missing all kinds of information. For example, which work that award was for, and who the winners were. For just these sorts of examples in front of us. And references are always useful as well. So I'm just going to skip that for now because I think we've got a good sense of how that would work. And as noted, here are the five reference pieces that I typically use when I'm adding a reference. These seem to be the most important pieces. And you may have noticed when I added that other reference for Mouthbow, a little copy thing showed up. Now, that doesn't show up by default for people. It probably really should because it's really important. Where that comes is if you go into your account preferences for Wikidata and go to the Gadgets tab and check off the duplicate references gadget. So once you check that off and save that preference, then when you go and you look at your subject, you have references. If you open up those references, then you can copy it, and then it becomes very easy to insert the reference that you just copied. And it's a one click. So you go to the work of putting in those five or six statements for a reference. You do it once. And because most articles have multiple statements associated with them, it's a very quick way of adding a whole lot of information very easily with proper references backing up each one of those statements. So I'd highly recommend that. The other widget that I had turned on, or gadget that I had turned on, was not protection indicators, check constraints. So that's the one that gave me that eye saying information, hey, there might be a problem with this. You want to see this, that this goes two ways, not just a single way. All right. You're going to drag around, eh? Fine. All right. So the authority control, as I said before, librarians get very excited about that, and you can see that there are a bunch of well-known ones and social media ones and more music-specific ones. But where this really comes in handy is that there are gadgets that can be built, or widgets that can be built, into other Wikimedia Foundation properties that pull that information in. So if we take a look at her Wikipedia page and we click on the external links, let's see down at the bottom, okay, you probably won't unless I really zoom in. Let's see down at the bottom, there's an authority control section. So that authority control section in Wikipedia used to be maintained manually. Now, by adding authority control, just as this one little widget inside the source page of any Wikipedia page, it will go and it'll find the Wikidata item that links to that Wikipedia page that has a one-to-one relationship with that Wikipedia page, and pull in any of the identifiers and format them and display them automatically. So you need to only update that information in one spot, and the authority control data becomes usable across all of the Wikipedias for every different language, not just for English. Otherwise, in the past, people had to recreate all of that same data and do every edit for a new identifier to every one of the different possible Wikipedias that came along, which is nuts. At the same time, some of the other Wikipedias, like the Russian and the Catalan Wikipedias, have other gadgets that pull in Wikidata. They're actually much more advanced than the English Wikipedia is. So the info boxes that you see for many of the entries in Wikipedia, these info boxes on the right with the background information, birth, genre, occupation, in Catalan and Russian and other Wikipedias, all of that data is pulled from Wikidata. So English, this all still has to be maintained manually, but at some point we're going to catch up. It's a bit of a Wikipedia cultural thing, language-specific cultural thing. There has been work definitely done, and it seems to be moving forward. So that's very, very positive as well. So that's another reason why working on Wikidata is a way of really advancing the visibility of Canadian music and musicians throughout the world with its visibility outside of just English Wikipedia. So some of the critical things you'll want to care about for musician entities are genre, occupation, instruments that they might play. But we also have band entities. And so you can have an instance of band. You can also have an instance of musical ensemble, as I discovered a little while ago. That happens, say, with Canadian Brass. They are a musical ensemble, not a band, which is important when you're trying to track them down using a query like I do for the catalog. So you use the has part, a very generic sort of property, to say who has been part of a band at what particular points in time. And again, that sort of information should be able to be used in Wikipedia to replace the very manual tables that, say, for the Rolling Stones, have to be manually edited to show when a given bass player entered or left the scene. Bill Wyman joined the Rolling Stones at X point in time and then left the time. Or for Mother Mother, when Deborah Jean left the band and was replaced, right? Those sorts of that sort of data that fans love and that you as an enthusiast want to reflect can be pulled in. And then if you really want to go deep, and this is the approach that I'm using in Sudbury, and I believe Stacy may be using as well, if you want to go deep for trying to surface a lot of notable entities, music festivals can be a fantastic way of doing it. So Stacy and I kind of work together to figure out, based on Eurovision Song Contest, how to make music festivals work. So the example of the overall class that I've used was for Northern Lights Festival Boreal, and that ends up being a fairly generic description because we don't want to get into the particulars of every year that was held in a single entity. Instead, what we're going to do is have instances of that class, right? So we've got the festival class of Northern Lights Festival Boreal, and then we have it being an instance of musical festival. This class is an instance of both music festival and recurring event. Recurring event is the hint that it's going to happen year after year, or time after time. And then we have the specific instances of that specific music festival. So for example, Northern Lights Festival Boreal 2016, which is an instance of Northern Lights Festival Boreal, and has its own location, because of course festivals can move from spot to spot. And it also has this follows, so you can put together a series of events. And in this particular case, I don't really have a lot of the appears in, or has parts, people who appeared. I believe I did that for some of the other instances. But it's that lineup where you're going to have media articles that describe do interviews with and describe who is playing in the lineup, we're going to be able to start surfacing a lot more of the Canadian cultural music that may not necessarily otherwise be considered notable. So I think this is a really powerful way of increasing the visibility of Canadian music in Wikimedia properties. So just a little bit of guidance there in terms of whether it's the 45th edition of Northern Lights Festival Boreal, that's what you want. And you've got the follows and followed by linkage to work with. There's attendance numbers that you can use as well. And the participant statement is where we want to say who existed. So let me just really quickly see. This follows this one. So if I go there, how's that looking? Edition number 44. We've got a director. There we go. And we've got participants. So the list of participants who showed up at 2015 and were easily able to be either created or linked from references are here. Most of these already existed in Wikidata at the time. There's a lot more work that could do to go in creating additional entities there. All right. So with that, we're pretty much at the end of the webinar. I just want to reiterate, I think Wikidata would be an excellent choice to put forward for your edit-a-thon if you're holding an edit-a-thon. It is easy for beginners because it avoids any of the politics that Wikipedia has sometimes become known for in terms of what is notable page, you know, delete wars, things along those lines. Here we're talking about just filling in facts. And we tend to be detail-oriented people, and it bothers us when we see something that's missing or wrong, or that's even missing a reference. You want to back it up. It's an easy way to get lost in detail, which can be fantastic. And it has that that powerful advantage of benefiting every language. The database gets stronger as we edit it. Applications that are built on it can do more and more good things. So it enriches and enhances the overall value of Wikidata with every individual edit that we make. And it's become so easy to dip in and dip out. You don't even need to actually have an account. You can edit it anonymously, but why wouldn't you want the credit for it, right? Create your account, log in, and you can say, hey, I'm interested in White Horse, or I'm interested in A Tribe Called Red as bands that I want to then flesh out and really show to the world what Canada has to offer. And you can go deep, right? You can build all of those very deep assertions about where people, where musicians met, what sort of influences they might have had based on their appearances at festivals. So I hope that you'll consider Wikidata for your edit-a-thon. If you are interested on the application building side, there is a nice intro to the main interface to Wikidata. I'm not getting into that today, but always able to help out if you have questions after about building applications. And once again, here's where you can get the information for the webinar and remix, reuse, and spread the word about Wikidata. And with that, I'm going to take my leave. I very much appreciate all of your time. I'm going to hand over the controls